So today we talk about Svina Zu, Yayin Zeh, Svina Stam, Yayin Stam. So everybody just remind me, what's the rule in Svina Zu, Yayin Zeh? What happens then? So when neither party could move forward with performance, what does the Gemara say? What gets applied? Yeah, very good, Adam. Gemara doesn't call it Motzim Chaver Alvaraya, but the outcome is similar. So we have Rav Nosson's principle, Im Nosson Lo Yitol, Im Lo Nosson Lo Yitain. If you paid already, the money stays where it is. And if you have not paid, you get to keep your money. So it all depends whether you prepaid or not. And of course, this contrasts with the rule for Svina Stam, Yayin Stam, which we'll talk about a little later. Okay. Now, again, there's a Machlokas Rishonim, whether the Gemara here is really talking about the first half of the journey or the second half of the journey. Tosvos, at least our printed Tosvos, not the Tosvos cited in the Ritva, thinks the Gemara is talking about the entire journey. So if you prepaid for the full journey, you forfeit your payments. Tosvos is a little puzzled by this. Why should this be? Remember Tosvos and Ayin Testament Beis. Tosvos asked, like, why in the world should prepayments suddenly matter? Remember in the Svina Stam, Yayin Zeh, Yayin Stam, Svina Zu cases, the Gemara was perfectly happy to make you disgorge the funds that you already paid. The Gemara was also perfectly happy to make you pay funds that you have not yet paid. But suddenly in this one scenario of Svina Zo, Yayin Zeh, the Gemara says it all depends on prepayment. And Tosa says this is puzzling. Why should prepayment really matter? So what's Tosas' answer? And this is a really important doctrine that we've encountered several times over this Zman. What's Tosas' answer?
The lost Lyward.
Let the lost lie where it falls. That would be an interesting answer. It's not what Tosas says, Cole. I mean,
Sorry.
Maybe it's like similar to what Adam was saying. What's Michael Varai? What did Tosas actually say, Cole?
Hold on, sorry. I can't see. Can you make your? Oh, you can't. Can you enlarge your font?
Sure. I can make this.
There we go. Hold on. Where are you?
We could also pitch in for a pair of reading lenses for you, if necessary.
No, it's I'm nearsighted, not farsighted. Or I'm farsighted. I always forget which is which.
I see how that could be confusing.
I'm always asleep at the optometrist. What's wrong with what Adam said?
Nothing's ever wrong with what Adam said. I'm just asking what Tosa said. What's the reason why prepayment makes a difference?
I mean, there's so much of what I said.
Maybe.
Yeah,
here's the answer. I'll highlight the important part for you, okay?
But he sort of forfeits the risk.
Yeah, right? Tosa says, let's read it. V'yesh lomar. Kivin shenasan lo scharo, nisratze sheyehe shelo la'alter, afo gav de'ena mishtalames el levasof, lidas kain no snow sheyehe shelo la'alter, im lo yishayer bo. So what's Tosa saying in this important line? Prepayment is a form of ritzoi sheyehe shelo la'alter, and lidas kain no snow lo sheyehe shelo la'alter. So what's he saying? What does that mean?
Something about the assumption of, well, he owns it already, I guess.
Yeah, Tosa's formulation here is actually slightly ambiguous. He could be saying one of two things, but the broad strokes of Tosa's idea is that when you pay, you're basically giving over the money to the other fellow in a manner in which you're forfeiting the funds. One way of putting it, I think as we've formulated in the past, that there's this kind of assumption of risk, that if you make the prepayment, you're putting the money into the other party's court, into the other party's hands. And you're basically saying that this money is now yours. I'm prepaying. It's yours, come what may. Or sometimes, as they say in like common law contracts, it's yours, come hell or high water. Come what may, it's your money. It's kind of assumption of risk. No, ledas kein nos no sheyehesha lola alter. Imlo yishayerbo, unless there's going to be some sort of prevention, right? Some sort of ikuv mitzad the other party, like in the Sfina, Zo, Yayin, Stam cases, in which case you'd have to give the money back. But assuming that there's not any kind of ikuv, then it's nisratza sheyehesha lo. So what we can take away from this Gemara and Tosis's comment is that a prepayment constitutes a kind of assumption of risk. We have to figure out exactly how. B, that assumption of risk only works in the interim cases, in the intermediate case, in Yayin Stam Svina Zo, or in Svina Stam Yayin Ze, prepayment as an assumption of risk is not decisive, right? The money gets refunded, or you still have to pay, depending on the case. It's only in this kind of neutral case where both parties are zo and ze, that prepayment is dispositive and constitutes a kind of assumption of risk. Okay, any comments on that?
Yeah, it's almost, from the wording of that last part, it seems like there's still a type of transaction that's occurring that sort of occurs retroactively. That's sort of built into the idea of you giving him the money at the outset. And when he fulfills it, then he retroactively earned the money.
You think
in
which
case, it sounds hard to say that would apply by Zev Vizet.
Well, he's talking about Zev Vizet. Isn't that the case that we're discussing?
Right. It just makes, it's hard to understand why you forfeit that money if, theoretically, he's referring to not as much the risk, as much as the future fulfillment of the contract.
I don't think he's referring to the future fulfillment of the contract. He's saying that just once I pay you in advance, there's a kind of extra assumption of risk. There's nisratzei sheyehesha lo la'alter. It's not conditioned on any performance. I'm paying it, it's yours, no matter come what may, with one provision, imlo yishayerbo, which I think he's referring to here, is that unless you're ma'akev, like in the Sfina Stam Yayin Zeh case, then I get refunded, but generally speaking, it's yours to keep. Now,
right, but, I mean, there's also the aspect of, right, it should be yours from the outset, shalola alter, agagi inan mishtalem, even though you did not fulfill your half of
no, the... No, 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 I think what he's saying, I think what he's saying here, he's referring to the halachic idea of schiros ena mishtalemes eleva sof. Generally, the halacha says that a contractor only earns his compensation once the job is completed. And here the halacha is saying that this... Yeah, just give me 1 second. And you let me just... It's going to be 30 seconds. Okay, guys, hold on. All right. Welcome to parenting in the 21st century. See the gray hairs. Okay. I think, Adam, what that line in Tosis is referring to is... generally, halakha says, "Ein schiras mishtalemes el vasof," which means that the contractor only earns his compensation at the very end. But this case where you prepay is an exception, right? So, afal gav de'ena mishtalemes el vasof ledas kein nos no sheheshel la alter. It's like he's breaking with the general presumption of "Ein schiras mishtalemes el vasof." Got that, Adam? Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
I was not reading that part like that.
Okay, good. Now, that's an important clarification. Now, what I want to point is that I think there are two or three ways of understanding this line in Tosfos. I think one of them is the way we've been describing it until now, that it's a kind of assumption of risk. By prepaying, you're making a move to show that this money, for all intents and purposes, is given over to the other party. And it takes a much bigger presumption to get it back. So by prepaying, you're expressing your willingness to tolerate greater risks. another way of explaining this is a kind of a motzi mechaber olav harayu idea, like Adam mentioned at the outset. And again, these two ideas might be related. In fact, you might even just view this as what Cole said, that this is an idea of just letting the loss lie where it falls, right? And again, that could also be connected to assumption of risk. The halacha is, it just takes a greater presumption to move things around. And in a case of ones, the halacha sometimes says that there's no reason to move things around. So if you prepay, the rule is ones hits, leave things where they are. We're not redistributing the payment. Another shout out to Cole and Yair's neocon friends. No redistribution here, right? We just leave things as they are. What's that, Cole?
Nothing. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Good. Now, there's a third way of understanding this, and that is the Kilas Yaakov in Bav Metzias and Mem Vavos Dalet. I think this also has some grounds, some formulation, some traction in the Rishonim. Kilas Yaakov, Simim Nemvavos Dalet, and Bav Metzias. Anybody have a chance to see this in advance? See here, this was not one of the Makoros that I added at the 11th hour, so I guess there's this, there's a chance that it might have been seen. Didn't add it at 12:58. Anybody see this Kilas Yaakov? The stipler? Cole, did you get a chance to see the stipler?
The stipler? You, as Rav Lachman said, are you brain dead? No, I'm kidding. No, I didn't see the stipler.
Okay. Zolti, did you get to see
never
the stipler?
Never seen a stipler in my life.
Oh, guys, this is an exciting day then. Okay, we're going to work through Cole's first stipler. All right, let's take a look at it. Zolt, did you get a chance to see it, or?
No.
Okay. Let's take a look. So let's take a look at this stipler here. What happened? Just give it a second. What are you doing? Just give it a second. I think it'll get fixed on its own, all right? You're saying it's weird to zoom? Give it a second. I think it'll resolve on its own. Just go.
Stop.
Maybe just restart the Zoom.
I won't do the Zoom then.
Just turn it off and restart it.
How do I turn it off?
Leave meaning. Yeah, leave meaning and then re-enter it, okay? Just go to your room. I think it'll be easier. All right. So here's what the Kilas Yaakov says. He quotes Artosos. Quotes the formulation that we just read, Tosim Bam Metzias Ayin Tesim Bet Aleph, Ayin Tesim Bet.
It's like the Evan Ezra, right? That says like main thrust.
Well,
in fact, it's like a Kinyan on the on the boat, effectively Kinyan on the use of the boat.
Stronger than that, I don't remember the Evan Ezra saying this about. I don't remember the Evan Ezra saying this about. I don't remember the Avin Azal saying this about prepayment, but here's what the Kilas Yaakov says. But yeah, Zolti, you're right in terms of the general thrust. Upshuto, let's just read the formulation. Upshuto nirachora hakavana dal das kein nosno shafilu mitva yehe shalo. Right, so it sounds like, hey, on the face of it, it sounds like Tosfos is saying that when you prepay, it's, you know, al das, with the intention that even if the boat sinks, you're happy to pay. Can't be that Tosos means that the client, the passenger had in mind that if the boat sinks, the boat owner gets to keep the cash, because this is just an onus that was unexpected. So he says, really what's going on here is Ela kol shemaktim scharo miskaven sheyehe shelo la'alter Bitoras tashlumin avur kinias zchus haishtamshush bidavar hamuskar. So you see what he's saying at that line? He's basically saying that if you prepay, that evidences to us that this was like a sale of a property. When you bought the ticket for the boat, it's as if you bought a real property right that was transferred up front. It's not that you're paying for the surface as you go, for the service as you go. It's betoras tashlumin avur kinias lechusa ishtamshim shdavar hamuskar, and therefore memela filo nenash shayachin hadamim lemaskir. Kivan shavur kinias lechusa ishtamshu shilem. The also zchus hakana kvar, right? You already purchased the thing. Al kol haderech uchshetava mamona didei nenas kimo kana chefetz venenas. And then once the ones happens, right? It's as if you lost your own property by prepaying, right? Dimi kol makam chayev damav kivan shekvar kana vaavur kniya zu nischayev damav. So you see, what the Kilis Yaakov is saying is that prepayment is not just an expression of assumption of risk. Rather, prepayment transforms this into a kind of an upfront sale of a good. And remember, onsen always follow the owner. So the passenger here is considered to be the owner of his ticket, and therefore he gets stuck with the onus.
Can I say something?
By all means, Cole.
Or am I going to be canceled
again? No. I was just muting you because of the background noise and the rampa. But you're all good to go.
Not on the rampa. Being accused of many things, like neoconservatism and being on the rampa, are just unjust. Anyway, okay, this is an interesting thought. So the idea here is to reduce a whole bunch, and it, you know, now that I think about it, it comes up in the Rishonim, who make a distinction between the Pole's ability to withdraw based on whether there was a Maisa Kinyan. So this is an attempt to reduce a whole series of, I would have thought, distinct incidents of property, you know, what a non-reductionist would call it, to ownership. And basically to say, like, you know, the idea here is that, you know, the idea here is that certain, I guess, risk in this case, the ability to withdraw in the Poland case being another, the duty to rebuild a house, for instance, all of these things imitate the, you know, as much as the, you know, current, you know, like the current legal state of things, like where the money is, who paid what in advance, will allow the kind of basic relationship of just outright ownership. That's kind of like the controlling principle of a series of these relationships.
Exactly.
Wait, can you stop scrolling the stipe? Can you go back to the stipler again?
Yeah, I'm going back. Phrase I like. I'm going back to the first stipler.
I have vertigo when you do that. Okay. Yeah, but hold on. Kmo kone chefetz venenas. It's not obvious you'd... I just want to say, it's not obvious you'd make that move. So it's something I've been wondering about for a couple of... Like, why does it matter where the money is for purposes of assumption of risk? I made a claim a couple of weeks ago that, you know, well, you can kind of infer... Not a Gemira Stas point. You can kind of infer because some people will pay more... Or some people will forego, you know, payment in order to get it in advance, right? They'll take $10 up front rather than $12 in a week. Fine. So I had said, that was just a way of kind of pricing risk into it. The stipler is going much further and saying that actually the risks that you have are reflections of what, you know, if we were looking at this through a property pair of glasses, things would look like you had incurred. So payment, which in a normal sale is an assumption of total risk, because, you know, if anything happens to my iPhone, I'm, you know, it's my, you know, I loss, the loss is mine to bear. That just is the assumption of risk. Why? Because it imitates the property relation that obtains between somebody and an object that you have total, you know, risk loss incursion for. So I think it's a very good, I think it's a powerful thought. I think it's, if it could be true in a million cases, in which case it's brilliant.
Yeah, okay.
Glad so, we looked at this. Glad this was my first stipler.
Yeah, I was going to say, we did well on your first stipler call.
Yeah, I'm glad. All right.
Good.
Smart guy. Who's the stipler?
Anybody want to, Gabe, who's our historian here? We got a few historians. Gabe was the one who sent out the Chumasadesha and tidbit. Oh, he's the one who sent it to Akira, at least. Who wants to tell us about the stipler?
Oh, is he Rav Chaim Kanievsky's father?
Wow, you're such you're such a millennial. Yes, uh-huh. Yes. That's
I think Adam Brash once said over a stipler to me.
There you go. Oh, so it's not your first then.
Oh, Yaakov. Yeah, Rav Yaakov. Well, I've never learned. Is it Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kamenetsky?
Kanievsky.
Oh, you wrote the Kehilas Yaakov. That's what we're.
That's what we're
Kanievsky, correct.
It's nice.
You wrote the Kehilas Yaakov. That's
nice
what
we're when
learning.
Things cool. come full circle. Yeah.
Everything just, you know, comes together. All right.
Yeah.
All right, back up.
It's that. It's
over
that,
to you, Philadelphia.
It's that Joycean revelatory moment.
Just stop.
It all makes sense.
The revelatory. Okay.
All right, Adam. Adam has a hand. Adam, you have a hand?
Yeah. When we talk about this Kenyan, what exactly is it that he has a Kenyan on? Is it just like he has this amorphous Kenyan, or does he actually own the rights to the contract in the sense that if he wanted to, he could sell the contract to someone else?
Ah, okay. That's a good question. This maybe is a question of how many incidents of ownership come along with this prepayment ownership, right? Does he get the right to transfer also? The Kehilas Yaakov doesn't tell us. I think you're raising a good question, Adam. I think it would depend, you know, on how much of like a honorary person you are. Remember that article about how these things are fully, you know, the different incidents of ownership and whether you think prepayment necessarily comes with like all of the important ones or just the onsen ones that get stuck with you. But I think you're pointing out something really important, Adam, in the formulation here, and that is that. And that is that you're a kone, the zechus hishtamshus bedavar hamuskar. Remember I tried to make this diak earlier that everyone shot down? I made this diak in Tosfos that you were a kone, the, I thought Tosfos was the first time you were kone the schiras, and you all pointed out to me that I was reading it backwards, really. He was just saying that the maskir is kone the schar. I think this formulation is getting at that point that I was trying to make earlier, that what you're acquiring, the thing that you have an ownership right on, is not on the asset per se, but it's on the user right. Like you've acquired a use right in the thing, right? And with respect to the use right, you're stuck with the onsen, right? It's kivan shavur knias zchus ha'ishtamsha shilem. And it's also zchus hakana, right? It's like you own the use right, not the object, right? So I think this is getting at that idea, right? And of course, what's interesting is that his argument rests on intuitions about kone chefet v'nenas, which he's extending the idea that when you own an object, you're stuck with the onsen. To the further idea that when you own a use right, you're stuck with the onsen of the use right. But I think you're right, Adam, to say that this is a great formulation of what you're owning is not the asset, but kind of the contractual right to use it. Adam, you want to follow up? Or Gabe, you have a comment here?
I'll let Adam follow up first.
All right, Adam, the floor is yours.
I think it's also interesting to think about this, like going back to the normal Malhabai's whole relationship. I mean, what prepayment does, it makes it takes away the ability for the Poel to retract in the middle of the actual period of working. It's a way of hedging the risk, because I'm guaranteeing you this money right now, but you are not going to be able to back out at any point.
Yeah.
Even though I'd be willing to pay you $12 at the end, I'll pay you $10 now up front, you're not going to be able to back out.
Yeah. Good. Gabe?
Yeah, I like the Great Taco, and I see why you like it, because it sort of fits the way you think about Sears. I'm not sure it reads well into Tosfos. Right, in Tosfos it's clear that the Maskier is tied to Silchar, like has sort of the option whether or not to transfer the money now, and he's making an active decision. It's Rasta Sheishalil out there. So I'm not sure whether I'm convinced by the reading of Tosfos.
Well, I think what he's saying in Tosfos is that the choice to prepay or postpay is going to determine whether this contractual right is like property ownership or just payment for the service when it's rendered. So he's reading into Tosfos that Nisratza Sheyeheshalola Alter fundamentally shifts the nature of the contractual agreement. Right?
Okay.
Right here, kol. Here's the because dechol she makdim scharo, miskaven she yesh lo alter b'torah tashlum and avur kinyas chesar shtamshus. Right, he's reading a lot into the significance of prepaying.
The question is whether that's like I'm trying to think of the grounds on which you would object to the stipler, and you know. I think the best objection is just to say when you paid, like maybe it's not a good indication of anything.
Yeah. Good.
Like I have an intuition. Like I want, I'm a rationalist. Not only do I think that, I want all facts to have explanations and significance.
Good.
And so,
good.
You know, I see two cases and the money is in different places and I desperately want a deep difference, but I just don't know. I don't necessarily know why that ought to be the case, just for the following reason. A basic definition of these are all cases of all economic actions really are cases of exchange. So why should you get what you want, I get what I want. Everything else seems to me kind of external to that. But this is making a point about kind of the process of exchange. You know, do I give you the $10 now or the $10 later? That has outside consequences about like assumption of risk and all sorts of things that are not immediately conceptually related.
Yeah.
That'd be the objection.
Yeah. So you're wondering whether whether he's justified in reading such deep significance into like a trivial question of whether the money was handed over at time T1 or at time T2. Right.
It could be, he's just great. You know, it could be, this is like, when we learn Chosha Mishpat, all we're learning are defaults, right? You can make a tznai about anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, so it could just be that, like, you know, there's this common there's this common question that comes up about, and this is the easiest factor to play with to set the default.
Right.
I would buy that.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, I would just refine your formulation a little bit. I wouldn't say that when we're learning Chosha Mishpat, all we're learning is defaults. Because, for example, whether Hakdamas Hamos is a kind of a property transfer, I think, whether payment in advance or before or after, I'd say, is just a question of how you intend to structure the deal, Cole, right, as you're putting it. And I guess you could structure the deal in any way. But notice the question of whether it's a property transfer or something less is not just a question of default. It's like a question of, you know, halachic ontology. Like, what are the different ways that ownership...
Mr. Anti-halachic ontology?
I'm anti, like, the... So I'm a nominalist about, like, you know, there are different ways of structuring a poel relationship, right? So being a poel is not an essential, like, ontological category.
Not part of the furniture of the universe.
Right. But there are things that are deeper, right? So whether or not it's a full property transfer or a pay-as-you-go, right, that distinction is a much more fundamental distinction. It's an open question which category the Powell falls into, right?
Right.
But that's just not a question of what your default assumption is. That's like a true halachic distinction about two different ways of forming okay. this relationship. But yeah.
All right.
Fine. Okay, good.
Cool. I'm not particularly bothered by your question. Like, I think you would agree that in the secular world, that the notion of a deposit is an indication of assumption of risk or some kind of commitment to a deal, before the deal goes through.
Right? But that's pretty accepted. Though.
Well, when the money changes hands as a declaration of intent. That's pretty common.
Is that true? What you're saying? What you're saying is true in the. I've been defending for a couple of weeks this view that I'm very sympathetic to this idea that the payment up front just is the assumption of risk. I mean, I think I really do think a lot of these principles, I've been persuaded more and more, even though we beat up on Zolti a few weeks ago about the rush, I really do think that like a principle of just kind of conservatism is, at least part of a lot of the intuitions behind these dinim. But I'm willing to say that, I like the Stipler's idea. Maybe I'm just advocating on behalf of the devil.
Okay.
Let me put it this way. If someone really frum said the Stipler doesn't know what he's talking about here, I believe him. Even though I'd be sympathetic to that guy.
All right.
It's not obvious to me.
I want to mention a few more important makoros here. So
just, Corey, would you be sympathetic because he's frum? If he's not frum, you wouldn't be sympathetic?
Yeah, I'm only sympathetic to... I wear a white shirt, man. Some people don't wear white shirts. But some people don't even wear like long sleeve button down shirts when they're giving shiur. We won't name names. This time,
long sleeve
blue, by the way.
Yakir, look at Yakir's wearing. Yakir's he just came back from sailing in.
Yeah, I was gonna say you look like William F. Buckley.
I'm not giving shiur.
That's also true.
All right, no beating up on me, guys. No beating up on me.
Speaking of sheer.
Okay. So just to refresh your memory about this important question that we saw very earlier on in the year, the Rosh and Bava Metzia Vav. Remember on the question, we saw the stira between the sugyas, between Kedush and Yud Zayin, where the Gemara seemed to say that the master has to pay for his Eved sick leave. Right? If the Eved gets sick... he doesn't have to make up the time, but if a Poel got sick, it sounded like he's not entitled to be paid. That was one of the early stiras we saw between Bava Metzia and Kedushin. And the Rosh cited the Maram as saying, Tirat Rebbeinu Meir, Hasa Mayrik Shekibel Ha'eved Kol Scharo, De'im Nasan Lo Ha'adon Lo Yashlim, De'im Lo Nasan Yashlim. The Rosh thought that, remember, Tosos distinguished between a Poel and an Eved, but the Maram distinguished between whether you paid the Eved, the Poel or Eved in advance, or whether you're only paying him after the fact. If you pay the Eved in advance, then the Poel does not have to make up his sick time, right? If you pay the Poel after the fact, then he is not entitled to be paid for his sick time. So whether or not the Poel loses or the Balabayas loses, according to the Maram, depends on whether there was prepayment or postpayment. At the time, I suggested that maybe this is a way of determining whether there's a transfer of a property right when you hire the Poel, and that's only if you paid in advance. That's in line with this idea of the Machane Efrayim, with the idea of the Kilas Yaakov. But I do acknowledge that you could also just read this as assumption of risk without going in, right, sort of the kind of basic understanding of Tosos, without going in for the deeper idea that it turns on whether it determines whether there's a transfer of property right. I want to come back now to the point that Cole was making. Actually, no, let me make one more point before I get to Cole's point. There's an important Nesivis who I think makes a similar point to the Kilas Yaakov. Cole, do we have you, or are you you're lost in the ether of the Rampa or the non-Rampa? Looks like we lost Cole for a second, guys, right? Does anybody see him?
Cole's not one to sit silently. Ask for a second.
He's doing the mannequin challenge.
Oh no, we lost him. Hopefully he'll come back in a second. But anybody get a chance to see this Nisivis? This Nisivis and Shinyun Bates at Gimel, I think I did add this at the last hour. So he says the following. He talks about prepayments, and he says, Umavur b'sefer machan Ephraim, tivihiktim lo haschar. Okay. Dehainu shepiresh b'shas haschira shehu b'ofen sheyachtim lo haschar. So if you prepay, oh, Cole, you're back. Okay, good. Excellent. Now you are on the Rampa. Okay, good. So here he quotes the Machane Ephraim as saying that if you prepay, then everybody would agree that Tzchiras L'yoma is Memkarhu. Remember, we saw that the Shach was the only one who really denied Tzchiras L'yoma Memkarhu. But now the Nesivus is citing the Machane Ephraim as holding that prepayment could be decisive in structuring the schiras as a property transfer. Ulafizeb afilu ba'ona she'ira lahabayis pater milahachzir haschiras. Okay. And then he wants to, so the ones will follow the ownership, and ownership is determined by prepayment. V'hasha kasav hamechaber demechshav almasha nishtamish bo machshalo es hashar. He's saying, and that view which holds that it's not a mechira liyome, and therefore when the house falls down in the middle, the tenant only has to pay for the time that he lived there. Lo mayri shepirei shal hakdamas haschar. That's a case where there was no requirement of prepayment. But notice he says, rak shetafas o shenasan lo me'atmo b'tchilas hazman d'mei haschiros. Aval behiktim lo haschar, tahainu shepiresh al hakdamas haschiros, hu likuli alma ein tzarech lahachzir. So this is a really interesting distinction, and this gets a little bit at the point that I think Cole was getting at. He wants to say that there are two modalities of prepayment. There's prepayment when it's required as a condition of the lease agreement. If it's a condition of the lease agreement that you pay in advance, what he calls divihiktim lo haschar hainu shepiresh bishas haschiro shehu beofen sheyachtim lo haschar, that the landlord said that the only way you'll get this property is if you pay in advance, then it's considered mechira liyome. But if there was what he calls like incidental prepayment, Nosan lo me atzmo betchilas zman haschiros, or there was a kind of tfisa, but not like a contractually obligated form of prepayment, then prepayment would not constitute a kind of transfer of a property right. Does everybody see that?
I don't understand why this distinction should get us anything. Why should it be required by the agreement tell us? Why should it's voluntary or essential? Are you talking to me or Ayala?
Ayala, but I'm with you.
Okay. I didn't mean that passive aggressively.
You're wondering why should the modality of the prepayment matter?
Yeah, I don't know what a modality is. But it sounds like a McKinsey term. But okay, all right. Anyway, yeah, I don't know why its place in the contract. How about should indicate if anything, voluntary payment should be should say more about what I intend to incur.
So it's interesting, right? So don't think of it in terms of assumption of risk, because he's not talking about it in terms of like risk tolerance and willingness to bear risks. He's thinking, I think this makes sense, that the question is whether this agreement is being structured as a sale or not. And he's thinking that that's not going to be determined by an incidental feature of like whether you voluntarily prepaid or whether there was tfis on the mos, it's got to be determined by the structure of the agreement. So if the structure of the agreement called for a prepayment, then it would be a sale.
But everything's a sale. What's a sale?
Well, distinguish between like a full transfer of a right versus just an agreement to pay for something as you use it. Right? So when you're leasing...
Full transfer... I don't see any deep distinction between these. I mean, they're, you know, you can pay somebody, you know, $5 an hour to use a laundry machine for 12 hours, or you could pay him $50 to use the whole, or you can buy it. Those seem like, I don't even care whether they're differences in degree or kind. They don't seem like the sort of things that would matter for this.
Well, I was thinking that when you lease your home, that could either be a short-term sale or an agreement to, you know, pay for use. And which form this agreement takes...
There's no difference between those two things.
Well, onus, who bears the onus, is one of the important enough.
But that's not going to be... Substantive, yeah, I guess this gets me, and now I'm less sympathetic to the stipler. This kind of substantive question about the assignment of rights and liabilities within the relationship is not going to have light shed on it so much by, like, you know, the moment of exchange or the essentiality of exchange to the agreement at a particular point in time. Those are different questions entirely. They're questions about the... They're questions about the derech hakinyan, not the davar hanikna. To be like brisker about that's like a, we don't use brisker slang here, but I just those don't seem like related questions at all to me. That's the same illicit kind of jump that people make when they want to use, you know, procedural principles from Sanhedrin and Chezkas Abatim to shed light on substantive principles about property rights. Those are just not. Different. This even is, like, I mean, you could argue this is procedural law. Like, when the money gets transferred, that's procedure.
You might think...
No, it's not. No, okay, no, it's not. I take that
right,
back.
Right. I mean, to get to Gabe's point, assume, like, a halachic norm that, you know, if it's a sale, you're paying in advance. If it's just, you know, to pay as you go use right, you pay ex post facto. And so, you know, how the procedure is done reflects on kind of procedure you're trying to do.
Well, right? I don't know. Maybe not. They're prepaid. Like, yeah, I don't see it. I wouldn't be comfortable with. I think you need to do more to earn that than is done here.
All right.
I'm open to it. I liked it more in the assumption of risk. I don't like it so much here just because, like, you know, there's pay as you go for full transfers of rights, and there's anyway.
All right, let's hear from the Zult if he's maybe he'll help Cole or maybe sympathetic, and then we'll hear from Adam.
I mean, I agree with Cole on the way that I don't think this is the most intuitive distinction, but I think it's more based on what you're suggesting, which is that based on, like, the structuring of the argument, structuring of the agreement, that will determine whether or not, like, how the agreement works out. I think actually it's interesting because then there's, like, a really interesting nafkamina then between the Nesivos and, like, the more basic understanding of Tosfot in the context of where you do prepay, you know, just because, like, you decided to do so, you know, out of your own behest. Or for the Nesivos, that wouldn't count, but for Tosfot, that's, like, that is in sum of what the case is.
Yes, yeah, exactly. You're saying as an important nafkamina between, like, the assumption of risk idea and the sale idea?
Yeah, and then for anything for Tosfot, for, like, the... And then they're almost going in opposite directions.
Excellent, exactly.
Tosfot's whole point is almost that assumption of risk is going to be more true if I'm doing it out of my own volition. If I have to because the agreement is... You know, because the agreement is forced upon me for whatever reason, because that's just the way, like, the seller is doing it, is structuring the sale. So that might not apply anything about assumption of risk.
Exactly.
You know,
Exactly.
So I think they're almost going in very opposite directions.
Yes, I think that's exactly right. If I knew how to use Zoom the way my 6-year-old kid knows how to use Zoom, I would give you, like, one of those clapping thumbs up things through Zoom. But, yeah, I think that's exactly right. There's almost... Oh, thanks, Cole. Cole got it for us. They're almost going in opposite directions here, where... for Tosos, if Tosos is about assumption of risk, remember, it's a bit of an open question exactly what Tosos is getting, but let's assume that Tosos is getting at assumption of risk, then you would think the more this is paid in advance voluntarily by the socher, the more this expresses his willingness to tolerate the risk. Whereas for the nesivis, that it's all about structuring this as a sale, if anything, the opposite is true. The more it's required by the agreement, the more we can say that the agreement is structuring the sale in a certain way. Yeah, that's a really good point, Yoni. And in fact, I think that's what the Marach or Zerua is getting at in this little discussion over here. Let me pull it up. Let me just get this Marach or Zerua, and then I'm going to take Adam. But Marach or Zerua is a nice response to... the Zilt's point. So the Tshuva Marach or Zeruah and Simen Samech Vav. How often do we get to talk about Tshuvas of the Marach or Zeruah? So the Marach or Zeruah is Reb Chaim or Zeruah, the son of Reb Yitzchak or Zeruah, the yeah. He's up there next to my Frankel Rambam. I don't know if you guys could see.
Who's the Or Zeruah? Wait.
Right there.
Is the Marach or Zeruah the Or Zeruah?
The son of the Or Zeruah.
When I see the Or Zeruah, like on Bar Ilan, like when we showed it.
That's the father. That's the father. That's the Rebbe. So the Or Zeruah is the Rebbe of the Marami Rotenberg. And like a Talmud of the Ravya. And the Marach Or Zeruah is the son of the Or Zeruah.
Is the Or Zeruah considered a specialty Rishon?
Yeah, I think...
not on the level of like the Iter and the Array.
Well, it depends who you're asking. If you're asking like a yeshiva guy, then he's a specialty Rishon. But if you're asking like someone who's familiar with like in terms of Psak and Shulchan Aruch, he's the Rebbe of the Maram, right? So he's all over the Mordechai, he's all over the Maram. But he's not learned inside so frequently.
I see.
So he's not like an obscure Rishon. But like the Or Zeruah as a sefer is like not gone, people don't go through it so consistently. So Marach Or Zeruah, there's a great Marach, there's a very famous Marach Or Zeruah where he seems to say that yeshiva guys are pater from all mitzvos because, you know, they're like oseik b'mitzvos Talmud Torah. Even though the Gemara seems to say that oseik b'Torah is not pater from mitzvos, but the Marach Or Zeruah seems to say like, well, if you're like a yeshiva guy who's, you know, learning all day, you're pater from shar mitzvos. That's a great Marach Or Zeruah. Maybe it's even a heter to wear a short sleeve polo shirts.
Or not.
Right. Maybe it's a good heter to wear short sleeve polo shirts. But
or read the New York Times.
I hold halacha ki akir b'chol makom, especially when he's avid maisa. So I'm not show halacha ha'ari here.
Unfortunate, because I'm the least yeshiva guy in the group right now. So
that's it depends how we understand the idea of being a yeshiva guy. You know,
I spend afternoons later writing articles for Tablet.
There you go. We're not doing confessions over here. You know, but it's hard for me to believe that, Yakir. If only because I'm in the group anyway. So. All right, so here's the really interesting Marach Or Zeruah. He says again, Simon Samech Vav. He talks about a socher sasvina laholich yayin v'tavas. He's bar mitzvah yayin test. That's our sugya. He quotes Tosvos. Tosvos has this question: why should prepayment ever matter? And he says, he actually asks how this is consistent with the Pseid of the Polim sugya. He quotes the Ravan. Yeah. The Ode Kasvu Atosvos. Okay. Why should the mukhsak be marviach? He says, oh, kivan shehiktim ol sharo nisrasa shiye shalo, kozman shle yishar biyado. Okay. Ulinyan zek kna ola alter, etc. He says, we see from here, halamadita dechazaka lisham bishvil sehaschiros ena mishtalemes ela levasof. So Adam, this is really important for the point that you were making earlier. The Marach Arzurah has a diak in Tosvos to say that part of Tosvos' argument is predicated on the halachic fact that generally schiros is only paid at the end of the job. We can go back to Tosfos' formulation itself to see how prominent this idea of Ein Schiros Mishtalemes Levasof actually is. But his diak is... We go back to Tosfos for a second, actually. Here. Od kasvu atosos, im tomar halos schiros ein mishtalemes levasof. It's not so great in this formulation, in his quotation of Tosfos. But his diak is that it's because schiros is typically paid at the end... Haya biyado lishmar kolas chiros ad sof hashana. V'hu lo asa kein ela hiktim lo. Sham shayich lomar gila bidaito. He's thinking that it's only sensible to say that there is this active assumption of risk or expression of a willingness to accept greater risks if the prepayment was done voluntarily. Because there's a background halachic norm that schiros is only due at the end of the term. Aval hecha sheruven hiskira shimon lilma befanav zman echad v'shimon lo ratza lehistaker ela imlo shehe makdim lo kol haschiros tchila. But if the contractor refused to do the job unless he was paid in advance. And Reuven only paid in advance because of the demand of the contractor. Sham ein shayich lomar gila bedaito. There's no evidence to say that he was willing to accept greater risk, and therefore hakdamas amos is not significant. Umasha kibel therefore chayiv lahachzir lo hakol. So I think this is a really great, and this is exactly what Yoni was saying, right, Yoni? This is exactly along the lines that you were suggesting. To the Marach Arzurah. Hope you weren't machaven to his yeshiva guys being patrim and amitzvos. Or if you were machaven only in theory. But you see, it's a really nice way of bringing out this point. He's thinking the exact opposite of the nesivis. For the nesivis, prepayment constitutes a transfer of a right or full sale if it was required by the agreement. Marach Arzurah makes a diak in Tosfos that this is all like a voluntary assumption of risk through your willingness, your volitional prepayments, and therefore it was required. If it was required by the other party, it wouldn't constitute an acceptance of risk. Okay, Adam, we have your hands.
Yeah.
Are you wearing a white shirt, Adam?
Yeah, it has pink stripes. Don't worry, I'm not that pro.
It's like the picture of Rav Moshe, and you know the famous picture of Rav Moshe sitting out.
Of course. In a field.
What? Yeah, in the field with his tzitzis over his shirt, and it's like there's a whole claire with like usually it's published in black and white, so it seems like it's a white shirt, but then the pictures and the photo in the colored version, it's like a little has like a pink hue.
That's just minor Orthodox propaganda. Don't buy into it.
It's greater Moshe. I mean, picture. So you're wearing the Rav Moshe shirt today, like the one that looks white with like the thin pink stripes.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about going out to a farm and sitting at a picnic table, but I thought that'd be too much.
It's for later in the day.
Later in the day, exactly. Okay, two Shilohs. Show number one. Where is this cozy oceanfront property that you're looking at?
Oh.
I was wondering the same thing
over here? Oh man, did I leave? I have to stop leaving on the background of my screen.
So what's usually leave up
this guy's this thing?
Usually leave up like heresy.
like analytical philosophy.
How does this look? Wow. We're planning a trip to Acadia for August if anybody wants to come. So looks cute, right? Get a view of the Atlantic over there.
We're all invited. Just want to clarify.
If you can make it, yeah. So we should. We'll have a chabura trailer.
Oh, beautiful, just like in Marshakoa.
Exactly. But let me know if you want to come along for the trip, guys. Middle August. We have to figure out exactly which days, but
I'm sure that's exactly what your wife wants.
What do you say, Gabe?
I'm sure that's exactly what your wife wants.
She's on board, you know. It's we're that committed to the Talmidim.
If you show up at 2 in the morning, the Rosenzweigs will let you in.
That's right. Cole could attest to my hospitality. And this time I'm even allowing people to use air conditioning. The no air conditioning rule is only for Cole. Cole actually did show up to my house in Philly here at 2 in the morning. Or at 12 o'clock at night. Yeah.
It was on my... with a U-Haul.
That's right.
With all my books. It was a lot of fun.
So yeah, that's the answer to your first question, Adam. It's in Maine, right? Yeah. Right, in the studio.
Actual question. It may be a bit of a point more so, but... I think especially this source gets the aspect of we're trying to see what happens if you had already paid. What does that imply about what we're looking towards now? Like, what does that imply for the rest of the sugya, for the rest of that contract? But theoretically, when you pay usually in advance, there's a reason why you're doing it. And it's usually an explicit reason. Either it's to save money and you're going to forfeit the risk and pay less money right now, or it's because you want to do some type of retainer. I think that Tosis gets at that. I think everything gets that. I think they're looking at the two sides of why you'd pay in advance.
Yeah. So is your point that we have to look at the specific reasons for why you prepaid? Is that your...
Yeah, I think even this idea of are we truly trying to be keyboard dot, or is it very obvious what their dot was? Why did they pay in the beginning?
Yeah.
And you're not just going to pay for fun in the beginning. No one does that just casually.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of along the lines of Cole's point. To what extent are these achronim and mefarshim saying that these actions are constitutive of constructing a certain kind of relationship, right? That like if you prepay, then it's a sale. If you prepay, it's assumption of risk. Or his idea more that these actions are trying to evidence your desire to do something, right? Either for the nesivis to structure the contract, the sale a certain way, or for the marach or zura, like, you know, evidence of your willingness to accept greater risks, right? So I think Adam, I agree with that point 100%. It's a bit of an open question as to which side the Rishonim here are taking on this, right? Yeah, good. Yakir, you have a comment you want to add? You're just excited about the cozy oceanfront property.
I very much do want to come.
Bring the crew.
Maybe.
Bring the crew. I'm also down, by the way, don't tell Asti, but maybe we could do like a separate Chabura camping trip. How does that sound? Anybody down for that? It's cool. It's like Zolt. It's like Yoni. It's like when we did our Israel trip last year for.
You're not gonna tell Asti.
Not yet.
What do you mean a separate Chabura camping trip?
We'll go a Chabura camping trip.
Oh. Interesting. Would we all sit around? Does somebody know how to play the guitar? Do you know how to play the guitar? Somebody know how to play the guitar? We can gather around the campfire and.
If you go to Greenland, I will learn the guitar.
We'll see. We can figure out where we want to go. But my summer is pretty open.
Does Reach provide funding for trips to Greenland?
We'll have to put Ben. We'll get Ben on the Reach funding part. All right. Let me get any other comments here. Just on these. Yakir, you have a comment or?
That's not me.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, fine. So let's just wrap up here with this discussion of the prepayment. So, yeah, I mean, you'll recall, by the way, that, you know, the prepayment as acceptance, or as the prepayment as making a difference comes up in a few places. Cool, I'm just going to mute you because of the background noise. Yeah, okay, perfect. So you muted yourself, so you can't say that this has to do with, like, being silenced or the systemic injustices. You recall that we saw this in Simon Shin Chav Tes in the Chumash HaDeshen, where he said that prepayment's going to make a difference in that case. But remember, prepayments does not make a difference in the case that's analogous to Sfina Stam Yayin Zeh, right, where there's an ikuv of Nishar Bo, where there's an ikuv coming from one party. That's implicit in our sugya, that prepayment only makes a difference in the interim case, in the intermediate case, sorry, of Yayin Zeh Sfina Zeh, not when there's a clear ikuv coming from one party. We also saw that prepayment matters in, I mentioned this rush already, but the Mordechai in Shin Mem Hei, this is the case of Leia who dies in the middle of her lease term. And the Maram, the Mordechai quoted the Maram as holding, right? If she had not yet paid, then she doesn't have to pay the rest of the term. So again, that's, you see that prepayment makes a difference in that case. Sounds like he holds that if there was prepayment, then Leia would be out for the entire rental period. And let me just call to your attention this important discussion in the Machane Ephraim, where he cites this Yushalmi in Gittin Perek Zayin Halacha Vav, where the Yushalmi says, Chad bar nush, Akdim pritin le'ilfa v'nogav nara. So it's going on here in the Yushalmi, and here you notice the Yushalmi explicitly talks about Hakdama Samos. So this certain fellow prepaid cash to Ilfa, who had provided a ferry service, but then the river dried up, and so Ilfa, you know, what couldn't take him across the river. So the question is, who gets stuck with the loss? Does Ilfa have to reimburse this Chad Bar Nash? Or is the Chad Bar Nash out the money that he prepaid? Also, Ovdo Kume Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov, they brought the question to Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov, and he responded, Ha Ilfa Aisinara. He said, hey guys, look, Ilfa has his boat ready to take you across. Now you, Mr. Bar Nash, you have to bring the river, which is just a complicated way of saying that you prepaid. You're stuck with the loss over here. You could see the Karban Eda, for example. Adam Echad Hiktim and Asam Schar Sfina, Shatavi Renu, Venus Yavish Hanar, Ba Myself Neir Nachman, Amar Hasfina Lefanenu, the Ein Ala Maskir Klum, El Ala Socher Mutta Lohavianar, Veinu Yachel Hilkach Ein Amaskir Tsarch Lahaxir Klum. Now it's an interesting question whether this is really supposed to be analogous to like a Sfina Stam Yayin Zeh case, or whether the prepayment is doing something substantive in deciding this case. The Machane Ephraim thinks that the prepayment makes a difference. Let me just pull you back up to the Machane Ephraim for a second in Siman Zayin. He says, Lefia Yushami Shevesi Lael, De Hikdim Zuzi Leilfa Vyacharkach Nagav Nara, Pacher of Nachman Lahachzir Askar. Some people learn from here, and this we'll pick up actually within our later discussion, dafilu deheicha dehave makas medina, dekaimelan dehave pseida demaskir. Even if this is a kind of makas medina, which we'll talk about later, which means that in this case the maskir should lose, meaning Ilfa, the boat owner, should lose, mikol makom em hiktim lo haschar eino tzarech lahachziro. Still, because there was prepayment, he doesn't have to return it. And he says, "Venir de hachitaima kivin de hiktem lo aschiros nisratza hasocher shiyesh lo la'alter, kemosha kasva atosvos." Gabe sfina zu v'yayin zeh. So the interesting thing here is that the Machane Ephraim interprets this Yushalmi as being a case where, like, neither party is really at fault. Generally, the maskir would lose, meaning he wouldn't be allowed to demand compensation. But since the money was prepaid, since the Bar Nush prepaid Ilfa, Ilfa gets to hold on to the money based off this theory of Tosvos. So that's an interesting application of either the assumption of risk idea or the prepayment as structuring it as a kind of haknas hamos to a slightly different case. Okay, I think we should stop here. Let me just make sure I didn't miss one important Leia. Yeah. Good. I think we should stop here. That's really what I wanted to cover in the Hakdama Samos. Anybody have further comments on the prepayment issue? Okay, so we could think more about the prepayment issue. That's really what I wanted to cover about it. And then we'll talk on Thursday about Svina Stam, Yayin Stam, Chulkin rule. And we'll start with Makas Medina already. So that'll be on the agenda for Thursday. Yachloku for Stam and Makas Medina. And we'll have, like, basically we'll do our last three chaburas. Let me just check the calendar for a second. Our last three. Oh, we could do, why don't we do, we could do June 30th also. We could do an extra. So our last three or four chaburas on Makas Medina. Does that sound good? Excellent. All right. Yashar Koach, everybody. Keep in mind.